Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well,
no pressure.
No pressure here. We have two in studio guests today.
Way to cover for it.
Yeah.
I like to catch Bill off guard.
Yeah, no.
Just warning our guests.
Yeah.
So we've been sitting here for what? How long have we been here? We've been here like 20 minutes.
Seems like an hour.
I know. It's like, if we were lucky we didn't shut down the whole street. They were like, wait, what are those guys doing there already? 15 years. They've never been this early. Honestly, we've never been this early. Usually there's some drama. No drama. So we're going to talk about canines today. How fun is that? Everyone knows when you watch the cops shows, the part you rewind over and over and over is the canine.
Turn loose the dog.
Come on, do the dog. And tasing. Can we talk about that? Do you guys tase people? Does anyone get to tase people?
Yeah.
Is that only on TV?
No, we have tasers. Yeah,
do you?
Still a thing.
Nice. Okay. Just thought I'd check.
Yeah, you see the yellow pistol come out. You better hang on.
Yes. You're
going for a ride.
There was one. It was in a TV show, and they tased the lady in the front, which you don't really see. Usually, they tase them in the back while they're running off, and the lady like went down like a redwood. It's pretty funny, actually. I'm like, that's probably not even how it works. So, we have two officers with us today. We have Deputy Zach Jerkowitz. Did I get it?
You did.
God. All of a sudden at the end, I got nervous. He started his career in 2014 as a public safety officer at the Shasta County Maine Jail and was promoted to correctional deputy in 2017. In 2020, he was sponsored by the sheriff's office to attend the Butte Police Academy, ranking number one overall in his class. Good job. Academically, and acquiring the Top Shot Award. Not with a taser, correct?
Not with a taser.
Not with a taser. In 2023, he became a canine handler, forming a strong partnership with Canine Kilo. I met Canine Kilo. Canine Kilo is serious business. Together, they have seized approximately 60 pounds of various narcotics and an abundance of felony arrests stemming from surrenders to Kilo. So the dog runs, the people stop. Shazam, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's kind of exciting. And three physical apprehensions. We'll need to hear more about that. Beyond daily responsibilities, he's actively involved in several specialized units, including the dive team, all-terrain motorcycle unit, and the recruitment team. Kind of a nice variety. Recognized for exceptional work, Deputy Jerkowitz received the Recovered Stolen Vehicle Award in 2022. Highlighting investigative and enforcement abilities, Deputy Jerkowitz has also acquired an associate's degree in public safety and social science. Committed to public safety and professional growth, he continues to excel in various aspects of local law enforcement, demonstrating leadership, teamwork, and a passion for serving the community. No pressure.
Yeah, none at all.
But we're going to need to know about all that later. I'm not even going to talk about the dog because you're going to tell us about that. But we also have Detective Kylie Holroyd. Did I get that right?
Holroyd.
No. Holroyd. Dang it. I got the tricky one and I blew the easy one. Oh, been a deputy sheriff with the Shasta County Sheriff's Office since March of 2019 after graduating from the Butte College Law Enforcement Academy. During her time in the sheriff's office, she's been assigned to the South County and City of Shasta Lake substations, was a resident deputy for Shingletown and Lakehead communities, and was the school resource officer at West Valley High School. Oh, I bet that was fun. In December of 2020, she was assigned to the Major Crimes Unit. She also serves as a canine handler since April of 2022 with her partner, Tony. And Tony is Tony with an I. She is a girl.
Yes.
She is a girl canine. And I met her. Oh, boy.
Handful.
She's like super friendly. Super friendly. She is a recruitment team member, an explorer advisor, a child abduction response team member, a fire investigator with the Shasta Arson Task Force, and is the sheriff's office designee for Youth Options Shasta. We're going to need to know more about that, too. Currently serving as the board chair. In 2022, she earned a Meritorious Conduct Award from the Shasta County Sheriff's Office. In addition, she holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in Criminal Justice from California State University Fullerton and an Advanced Graduate Certificate in Criminal Justice from Liberty University. and a Master of Arts degree in interdisciplinary studies with a concentration in criminal justice, executive leadership, and executive leadership from Liberty University. Well, you guys have been really busy and you're not very old. So good for you. You guys did tons of stuff, tons of school. So you want to tell us about dogs? I mean, we got like a long list about this. Did you want it? Okay. Did you guys, when you got involved in this, did you think, okay, I want to be a canine handler? Or did it like sneak up on you?
It was one of my two goals. So the two things that I wanted to do as a deputy or detective, whatever it was I wanted to be a detective. That was my number one of my two goals. And I wanted to be a canine handler. And so, yeah.
So you're just hanging out at high school and doing all this other stuff just for the heck of it?
Pretty much.
Just to round it out?
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
Pretty much the same. I got into law enforcement because I didn't agree with narcotic usage, and I knew that a canine would assist in my detection of narcotics. So my goal was to become a patrol deputy, invest my knowledge as much as I can in narcotics, and my canine assist me.
What did that?
Just, you know, family and seeing what it does to people and what it can do.
I mean, there's a myriad of reasons to dislike.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're haters. We do tons of shows on pot, and we determined before the show we didn't. The guy that was doing the news kind of, I was laughing. I said it sounded like he was on Quaaludes, and we determined between the four of us we're not really sure if there are Quaaludes anymore. I just remember we used to joke about it that it made people like slow and act goofy, but I don't really know anything about him. So we don't need to bring the dog in. Actually, he can stay in the car. He was barking when we rolled up.
Yes, he's a loud one.
Yeah. So. Is Tony a barker? I didn't hear her bark at all.
No, that's funny you bring it up. She only barks when she's at home. And so she's a totally different dog.
Great for your neighbors.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Thankfully, we've got a little bit of elbow room, and all my neighbors have dogs as well. And I have more dogs
kind of blends in.
Yeah, it's really funny. So she rarely barks at work. And I think even, I've had her for almost 3 years now. And up until maybe about a month ago, one of my partners in the office heard her bark for the first time. Because she's sitting at the window, looks outside and sees a squirrel, and she barks.
She went full dog?
Oh, yeah. Just totally went full dog.
Lost her training right there.
Turned into a normal dog all of a sudden.
And my partner comes in, and he's like, was that Tony? Yeah. I've never heard her bark before. And then, of course, when you're at home, if you were to say that, oh, yeah, she never barks at work, it's like, there's no
way. People are like, you're totally lying.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, like, because she definitely is very vocal at home.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah,
and what kind of dog is she?
So she's an American Labrador Retriever.
Okay. All right. How old is she?
She is 3 and a half. She'll be 4 in July.
Okay. And then what is the what's the training program for a dog to become a canine? Is it different for different tasks or?
Somewhat. So I'll let Zach talk about what our like patrol dogs training looks like. For the most part, it's the same. When we get their dogs, they have a little bit of training. For Tony, she was a little bit different when we got her. She was 5 months old, very, very puppy, a lot of energy. And I mean, labs are neurotic as can be already. So when I got her, she had a little bit of like bird dog training, and that's actually the family she was meant to be, like a bird dog. And so when I got her, she had a little bit of like bumper training and some work with finding birds. So I got her zero training other than that, no obedience, no like an art, detection work or anything. So we had to start from scratch from her.
Right.
For about a month, I did like some odor recognition of the odors that she smells. And then we started our training. And so I went to training with one of our other current dogs. It was a 5-week handler school, basically. For the most part, it's us learning how to work with the dogs rather than the dogs already know what to do. But for Tony, we had to start kind of from scratch a little bit. And then we worked for 5 weeks to get her odor recognition, a little bit of obedience, which I still work on to this day. Even though I was 4 years old, she's still a puppy at heart. And then we go through, like I said, the rest of the training.
Now, do they still have the training center down there off of Radio Lane? Is that, do they train dogs down there?
Yeah, so that's our old substation, like our South County substation. We moved out of there about a year and a half ago, I think. And, but it's still a county property, so when we can, we try to train there as much as
we used to work right there on Radio Lane. So we looked at the bikes.
Oh,
where all the bicycles were stored right there. Mm-hmm. And we used to watch them have rake fights when they were supposed to be out there working. Uh-huh. They would go under that big tree in the corner and have rake fights, and then people would throw drugs to them over the fence. Mm. So we had the phone number, you know, so we'd call over there. Who was it? Jerry.
Jerry Myers.
Jerry Myers. We'd be like, hey, Jerry, this guy's just threw a sack over the fence. They're back there having rake fights and doing drugs. He's like...
Right there.
They could never figure out how they were getting
and
busted.
And he'd like march, march, march.
Because there was no camera in that area. And, yeah, we always
It was us. We were the rats. It's kind of fun, actually. Yeah, we'd watch him get in all sorts of trouble. It's like, oh, there goes Jerry. And then you'd see him all scatter, you know.
But yeah.
He always got caught. It's kind of fun.
Thanks.
So talk about patrol dogs for a second.
Yeah, patrol dogs is a little bit different. Similar in the same nature, but they have a little bit of work already. For the most part, they know how to bite. They know how to bite a sleeve. So when we get them, we spend a month with them just bonding, trying to build that rapport with that dog to say, hey, like, I'm your owner. You look after me. I look after you type of thing. Mm-hmm. And we start our 5-week basic handler's course, and that's where they just kind of unleash what they can do. We start off baby steps, you know, crawl, walk, run type of thing. So all of basic handling course is all crawling, getting them that basic knowledge of what we expect out of them. And just slowly over the course of, I'm still learning to this day. I mean, he's still advancing at each training, just trying to build them up stronger, confident.
How old is he?
Kilo is actually going to be 3 in August.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's serious.
Yeah, he is 75 pounds. He can jump super high. When we're doing trainings, he'll bark at a door, and if the door's like shut and he wants to get behind it, he's trying to jump as high as he can to see if he can get over the door. I don't think he knows that it's shut and the wall's there, but
hope springs eternal.
Yeah, he can jump high. He's fast. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well,
and he is a Belgian.
Belgian Malinois.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you guys find them? Are there people who breed them specifically for this? I mean, how do you find these dogs?
So a lot of the dogs in police work in general normally come from Europe. Ours, we actually go through a trainer who finds our dogs for us. Mm-hmm. And he looks at the dog, says, yeah, this dog is capable of doing what I need it to do. And
kind of a temperament thing and that sort of thing.
Seeing if they have like drive, if they have a good ball drive, then they're going to be good for narcotic work.
Fetching?
Yeah, like a toy drive.
Okay.
If they have a good toy drive, they'd be good for narcotic work. And they look for like the confidence stuff. You'll see a lot of dogs that don't like going into bathrooms because the tile is slippery.
Like our miniature schnauzer, and we have the whole our whole house is laced with rugs that are connected to other rugs because. Floors are scary. Yeah.
Some dogs do not like it at all. So if they show any type of those environmental issues, our trainer will be like, yeah, it's not really worth it. Or, yeah, I can work past that and we can build the dog up.
Hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What about, and so what do we have? We have like 2 minutes till the break. But I didn't tell Bill what Tony does. So the patrol dogs... I mean, most of us have at least seen on TV. Hopefully, people listening have not experienced the patrol dogs in real life. But your dog is in kind of a whole different a world I don't think most people know anything about.
No, and it's still pretty rare.
This is where the criminals should actually listen. If you're thinking about a life of crime, you should probably give it up now.
Yeah, exactly.
Tony's coming.
She is. She's very ferocious.
Yeah?
So Tony is – she's super special. So she does a lot of nose work and detection work also, but she doesn't find drugs. So the two things that Tony does is she can alert or she's imprinted on gunpowder and then electronic storage devices. And so as far as that goes, anything about gunpowder, whether it's a shell casing, a bullet, a magazine, a gun itself, she can find. And then anything that's capable of storing memory, that's where the electronic storage devices come in. So we're talking micro SD cards, USB drives.
How do you train them?
Flash drives.
They have a special smell?
They sure do.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See? I told you you'd think
it
was cool.
Yeah. It is very cool. So the official chemical is called triphenyl phosphine oxide.
Sure.
The I had to practice this. Yeah, that was the one thing. I was like, I need to make sure I know what the word is because I know I'm always going to get asked. And yeah. So the abbreviation is TPPO, and it's the chemical, from my understanding, it's the chemical that prevents electronic storage devices from overheating. And so when you think of like something that is storing memory, it's working really hard, even those little micro SD cards, and we know how much can fit on one of those, like the ones that go in cameras or whatever. We have to be able to keep it from overheating versus, I use the example like a hair dryer. Granted, it heats things up, but it doesn't store memory, so it's not working super hard. And so that's the
chemical. If your hair dryer is getting really hot, you should get a new one.
Yeah, probably. I got to come up with a better example.
No, but it's true. Everybody knows if your hair dryer is hot, you've got problems.
Yeah, and so that's the chemical that she's imprinted on, and the scientists who are way smarter than me figured that one out.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty wild. I didn't know there was such a thing. We are going to talk about that on the other side of the break. So we have Detective Kylie Holroyd and Deputy Zach Jerkowitz with us, and you're listening to We the People. You can find us, and the archive will be up later on, in case you'd like people to listen to this so they can avoid meeting the dogs. You'll find it at wethepeopleradio.us.
Was nice, the party was bumping.
Hey, yeah.
And everybody having a ball. Until the fellas started name calling.
B-I-O.
And the girls respond to the call. I have a pool and shout out.
Who let the dogs out?
So you guys mostly play that when you're at work, right? You play that, and if they don't stop for the song, then you send the dog. Okay, so Bill's got a million questions.
Well, I kept having to shut him down.
I know. Yeah, we're like, you can't talk about it until we get to the show again.
Yeah, the one question was the dog's trained to find memory cards, flash drives. Why those? What are they hiding on those?
Very bad things, to put it lightly. So I'll talk about, I guess, the kind of cases we use her for. So we use her a lot for, like, homicide cases, especially the shell casings that come into play. People's lives are on their cell phones, and so sometimes we can't find them. The biggest thing about the memory drives, like, you think of something as simple as, like, a financial crime might be important. And then you also think about, like, the really bad stuff, like sexual assault against children.
Right, the pornography or, and that kind of thing. Yeah,
CSAM, so child sexual abuse material, and they get very creative with the hiding of those devices. And so when we talk about a flash drive or a cell phone, we know what that stuff looks like. But a lot of times these people who don't want us as officers to find them, they'll disguise them or hide them. And if you think about searching a house, like think about hiding a micro SD card in your house.
Yeah.
And you say, hey,
okay. Yeah, which is a micro SD card, a half an inch by, you know.
Exactly. Like, hey, okay, go search my house for that micro SD card. It's going to take us hours. It's going to take... If we find it, it's going to take 5-10 of us hours to search every square inch of that room. But I can send the dog in, and she can alert to an area of, hey, it's over here. You should look over here, way faster. So she...
Even if they had it like in a cereal box or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I bet that's fun.
Oh, yeah. So, and they get very creative with where they hide this kind of stuff. It's not just a pile of flash drives that say, hey.
All by the computer?
All by the computer. Yeah, right. I mean, sometimes it is that easy. But a lot of times it's stuff that's disguised, and it's it makes it a lot easier for us to find it.
So you had a whole box at the thing I attended.
Yes.
We have to bring the box in so Bill can see it. But one was hidden in a hairbrush.
Yes.
So the end screwed off.
Uh-huh.
It was in a hairbrush. You had a whole lot of them.
I had a whole bunch. I have like a credit card that pops open, and it's got like a micro SD card attached to it, or in a way. I've got like a charging block, like like you just plug into a socket and it actually pops open and it's a storage compartment. I've got a Dr. Pepper can. I mean, you think about that. You take all your flash drives and your SD cards you don't want us to find. You throw it in this Dr. Pepper can. You put it in a 12-pack in the cabinet or something. And then show up.
You're never looking in that.
Yeah, are we going to go search a 12-pack? Probably
now.
Now you are. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I am.
But I'm going to take Tony through that kitchen, and she's going to start alerting to that 12-pack. I'm like, that's a little weird. Hmm. And then that's when we can kind of start opening cans up.
Yeah. I think that my favorite one is the actual bolt that she has. It's a bolt that's
bolt.
Hollow on the inside, but the screws, everything works as a bolt. And
really?
If that was in just a bucket, you'd never
like
know.
Like of just hardware?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they also make like a quarter and a nickel also. That pops open and it feels like a real, like.
Oh, that's right. I forgot
nickel.
You told me about that.
Yeah.
Like the top and the bottom separate. It's not split like through the middle. It's.
And you can't see the seam or anything like that, but, there's like this ring that I use to pop it open and a micro SD card can fit there. Same thing. Like you've got change.
Yeah. And those
around.
Are things that you're going to totally overlook.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
Looking at a bucket of change and there's a quarter in there. You're going to walk right by it.
But when I have Tony learning to change, we're going to be sitting there trying to open up every single one of those.
Oh, that's evil.
Yeah, right?
So does Tony sits down, wags her tail, sends you a post-it note?
Right. She sits there and she starts yelling at me. So that's actually something that we talk about with school. That's a huge reason why we go to canine handler school. It's for us to learn how the dog alerts. And so I know when she does a multitude of things because I'm her handler, just like Kilo does the same thing, that, okay, this means she's alert.
And you train them to do that particular thing, or is it just something they kind of pick up on?
For the most part, yeah. We train them either an active or a passive alert. Mm-hmm. And so active is like where you get the scratching or something. Passive is like a sit. So Tony, she does a bunch of different things, and she's a little bit of a prima donna. So like if we're out on like rocks, she won't sit for me because she doesn't want to sit on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple things that she does, she'll sit. Sometimes something that I'm actually still working on her, I try and get her to, like, I call it booping it with her nose, like get right up to where the odor is and hits it so I know exactly where it is.
Oh, that'd be handy. Mm-hmm. It's a shortcut.
Yeah, so she hits it with the nose. She'll sit. Sometimes she'll lay down. Another thing she do, which is my favorite, or not my favorite, when she's first starting to get odor, her tail gets like pinpoint and she like stops wagging it. But my favorite one is she starts licking her lips.
Like, she knows what's coming.
Here comes.
Yeah,
I'm getting paid.
So exactly. And our dogs just want to get paid. So all the other dogs, they're toy driven and they get a reward. Just like we go to work, we like to get paid. Our dogs like to work and they like to get paid too.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, we tried every toy you can think of and she likes toys. She just doesn't have that drive and that love for toys. But like any true Labrador, she loves food.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she does her job, she gets rewarded with food. So that's where the whole licking of the lips, she'll start drooling. She'll start licking her lips because she knows she's getting a treat.
I'm so finding this because I'm completely getting paid.
Exactly.
That's funny.
That's my fair. I love when she starts licking her lips because then I know that she's like, it's right here.
It's
I promise.
Yeah.
Okay, Zach, so what's Kilo doing?
Kilo is passive. Same thing. It's a multitude of things. So he, as we're searching cars, his behavior is just completely different when he detects an odor.
What does he look for? He looks for drugs.
Yeah, so he looks for fentanyl, methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine.
Well, he smells for it. He doesn't look for it.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
He detects it. Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing non-dog talk. We were yeah.
So yeah, it's a multitude of things. I mean, his drive for it becomes stronger because he gets a whiff of it. So now he's sniffing harder. His tail becomes more stiff. The back of his hairs and stuff like that start to rise and stuff. So it's something that we have to learn that we're looking for. So not only am I looking for that final alert, but I'm looking for the change of behavior because I may be searching a big semi truck where I saw a change of behavior in the very front, but I didn't see anything in the back. So now I got to go back to the front, work that big area.
Will he go like, okay, so with both of them actually, so if you don't pick up on it, do they just like stop there and go like, hey, dum-dum, I'm here already.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah,
they won't just kind of keep going and do
no.
And that's something that I do especially is I try to get her to redirect and like, okay, let's keep going. And she's like, no, I'm sitting here until I get my food. Like, you're going to reward me. I'm telling you.
It's happening here.
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you get called in when they pull somebody, you said big truck, so.
Right, so. There's been times where, you know, CHP has a semi-truck and they suspect there may be a narcotics on it, so we would work that area. Or we'll have, you know, other partners that are stopping cars that suspect it, and we'll assist them and do that when we're not doing our own thing.
So they might look in the back of the truck, but it's like, well, it seems weird. So
yeah, so just like with Kylie's dog, Tony, and her situations where they're hiding their SD cards, we have people who are hiding their narcotics inside their vehicle. So they'll actually manufacture, we call them traps, like hidden compartments, mm-hmm. where they had built a false floor on the vehicle, and you push a couple buttons and something pops up, and that's where they can store all of their narcotics, their money, anything that they're trying to traffic illegally.
Yeah. Very.
Oh, God. Yeah. People use very their powers for good, seriously.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How amazing would everything be?
Mm-hmm.
So, as I've seen them before, like in movies and whatever, where they like hide stuff in the tires and, mm-hmm. you know, the obvious places in the tool compartment, like in the trunk,
yep.
that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of easy.
And
right.
Sometimes but, people still do it.
But yes. I mean,
do they still do that?
Yeah.
I was curious about that.
Yeah. Me and Kilo had one. We actually had one where it was 50 pounds of fentanyl with 4.5 pounds of cocaine. And that one was just in a Costco sized tote sitting in the rear trunk of a vehicle.
Wow. No genius.
Kidding. Yeah, that's smart.
And then we have other ones sometimes where they put it in like the doors and they take stuff off and we're searching the car. Like we're taking panels off.
So do you have to
off.
Disassemble the
Oh,
door?
Yeah. Sometimes.
If he hits on that, you got to start taking
yep.
stuff apart.
If we get that alert and we feel like it, we know that it's there, we just can't figure out how to get in. There's been times where we will tow that vehicle to another location and just start disassembling it, looking for it.
Mm.
Because they get very sophisticated when trying to conceal it.
Do you so if you like if someone was pulled over mm-hmm. on the side of the road, if the dog alerts on the vehicle, how much stuff can you take apart on the side of the road?
As much as we physically can at that time.
Really?
I mean, if we have to have some type of established, like, hey, this is definitely odd. This isn't manufactured from the dealership. This looks like it was prefabricated.
Oh, okay.
So something to that effect. I mean, if it looks like a bone stock car and a dog alerts, it's very possible that there could be like a lingering odor that they did transport at one point, or there could be like a residue in there that they're going to be alerting to. Because when we train, I mean, we're hiding probably a gram of narcotics in our dogs.
How much is that in people terms?
One packet of salt, or one packet of sugar, we'll say.
Oh, okay.
So let's say one packet of sugar, we're hiding that, and our dog isn't capable of locating it in a room. So when we have people who are transporting, you know, these large quantities, it's such an overwhelming odor
sure.
that our dog's behavior is completely different from how they alert to that 1 gram compared to that large
well, yeah,
amount.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but if they hauled it and got away with it once, they could have left residue.
Mm-hmm.
Next time they go out and haul it, or not at all,
right?
They still have that residue, and dogs are going to pick it up.
Rental cars. A lot of times people
oh my gosh,
utilize
yeah.
rental
Think
cars.
About that. You
so you could
car.
Have a family mm-hmm. of four, you know, going to Disneyland. And you run a dog around, and it could potentially be that lingering odor in there.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like our
that's a bad
trip
day.
To Palm Springs when we found all the check washing stuff in our closet.
Oh, yeah. We check into this hotel, and you know how they put the pillows sometimes up on the shelf in the closet?
Mm-hmm.
Pulled it out. This it was almost like one of those trays in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Just those plastic little thin falls down. Checks all over the floor, and then blue ink kind of all smeared all over the place. So we got to spend the end of our convention at the Palm Springs Police Department, which is really fancy, by the way. It's like really swank. Like, how could this be a police department? It was really pretty. We were there forever.
Yeah.
Because then we didn't think about it. I put it in a dry cleaning bag. I like put the stuff in because I had a mm-hmm. Suit in a cleaning bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, if we touch it all, like that's blowing it. So it's like, huh, what are you going to do with all this stuff? So we sort of scraped it into the dry cleaning bag. So we came into the police department with our dry cleaning bag and all our wash jets. And
I promise these aren't ours.
Yeah, here we found these in our hotel room. I'm sure, but it was, you know, that was a That was the other thing with that place. We came back to our room. It wasn't in the convention center where we were having our conference. It was in a separate hotel. So we go in, and the staircase goes way up, and our room was at the top of the stairs. And the door was wide open when we came back. And it was like, well, that's casual. All our stuff's in there. The door's wide open. And then we found the checks. I was like, yeah. We obviously were camped out in the crime room. Yeah, I don't know if they ever found anybody. Yeah, that's the bad part. Put that in the suggestion box. People who turn in crimes want to know what happened.
Well, it's all public record.
I know.
You can go to the office and pick some up.
Next door in Palm Springs, I'll have to swing by. Hey, remember that dry cleaning bag 20 years ago?
I wonder what happened.
Yeah, what happened with that guy? Did you find him? Huh. Well, so if somebody, that kind of begs the question, so you do rent a car that was used by criminals to transport drugs, which is actually a pretty smart idea, provided you are done with it. Can you ever figure out who did it?
No. At that point, it's pretty difficult because, I mean, you can contact rental agencies, but there's no way to physically prove that that person
transported it. That they did it, right?
Whether it was like him or the person before.
Right.
Right. Yeah. That just seems like a freebie
right.
on that one. But what about the people that are driving it now, as long as there's nothing actually in there?
Right.
Right. So even if, I mean, if a private car or rental car, if they were the ones transporting it, but there's nothing in there, you're still home free. Kind of.
Say that one more time.
Like if the dog alerts on the car, mm-hmm. right? So obviously there were drugs in the car, mm-hmm. but they're not there now. Do you guys have any ability to follow up on that, or do you just kind of put them on your list of people to pay attention to
yeah.
for later?
I mean, if they're local, potentially.
Yeah, that's what
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, we could.
If it was their real car.
Yeah. Yeah, we could potentially, you know, keep an eye on it and, like, do a workup, figure out, you know, what their priors are, if it's just a fluke or if they are actually doing something with narcotics.
Hmm. We have a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a lot of that. They transport in, like, the rental vans all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I know out of Siskiyou County with all the big, you know, dope grows up there.
Yeah,
they're
marijuana.
Constantly finding, yeah. you know, what did they have last time? I don't know if it was the very last time, but not that long ago. It's like 1,000 pounds of processed marijuana.
Yeah.
It was headed to Long Beach. Mm-hmm. Just pulled over on the side of the road. I'm thinking, well, that wasn't very smart.
Yeah, those ones are pretty easy.
Kind of put all your eggs in one basket there, buddy.
Your dog smells it out the window.
Yeah. Oh, God. At that point, we
the
can
dog
smell
starts
it.
Barking. You flip a U-turn. Yeah. That is pretty funny.
Yeah, just drive by it, roll your windows down.
How much of it is in town versus on the roadway with dogs?
It varies. I mean, I like to work the freeway. So the stuff that I look for on the freeway is...
Well, don't give away your trade secrets.
Yeah. Stuff that I look at is mainly going up north. Local stuff is smaller than that. You know, it's not going to be the big, heavy
big
stuff.
Holes.
Pounds, yeah.
Where it's were more, you last night when I was coming back from MacArthur and this person was driving line to line, back and forth, back and forth. I'm like, really? Today's the day we don't have anybody out?
Yeah.
So sad. And no signal, right? So I couldn't call. But I thought, boy, when this guy gets to the bottom of the hill, it'd be so great if there was somebody waiting for him. As we all clawed our way down the hill. I know. I didn't do the songs yet, though. You just hold on, Bill. Bill's trying to tell me to do stuff I haven't done yet. I was curious about, like, the child uh-huh. molester people,
yeah.
right? So once they figure it out somewhere else... You know, they figured out that this person is likely.
Yes.
So do you go in at the beginning or does
for, the search?
Yeah. Is that all later?
It depends. So like you're saying, if we're at the point where we have
like
search
where do you show
house.
Up in that
yeah.
whole thing?
So a lot of times I'm there because it's my unit that's handling all that. And so Tony's always with me. If it's something that we know we're going to use Tony to go in and search for, it really depends. So I can bring her in either at the start of the search, I guess, or I could take her into back cleanup. A lot of the times it depends on the condition of the house. It also depends on kind of what we're looking for and what we expect to find. Because I'm not going to bring Tony into something that's hazardous or that to like set her up
yeah,
to fail.
Yeah, you got
to
be careful there because there could be all kinds of bad residue laying
yeah.
around. The dog gets into it and
exactly.
boom.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm really cautious when we're searching places. But if we're going to go into a house, usually when we first start, I guess, a search, we take overall photographs of everything before we start searching. So I'll do a walk talk through then, and I'll kind of determine, okay, I'll take Tony in now, and we'll do her search. And so it's really easy for me just to kind of walk through with a partner and start pointing out, hey, she hit here, she hit here, she hit here.
Yeah.
So everybody knows where to focus their search. We're still going to search the whole house. But then on other times, just for whatever reason, I'll take her through after we've already like hand searched.
How does she know the difference between like a cell phone and a, like...
Like a gun?
Yeah, like, but I mean, even the electronic stuff, mm-hmm. like normal electronic stuff, how does she know not to?
Like, she probably alerts to all of it, right?
Not quite everything. She's
not smart enough to know, hey, they just called their mom, that's just a regular phone. She doesn't know that. Right?
Yeah, she'll alert to most electronics, but again, if it doesn't store memory, she's not going to alert to it because she doesn't, she's not. Trained on the electronic itself or plastic or whatever. Because some people think that she alerts on like the plastic of electronics, but it's not that.
But it's the stuff on the inside. It's the memory. I forgot
exactly.
about that.
Yeah. So if that electronic doesn't have that memory, just like these microphones, she's not going to alert on the microphone, but she's going to alert on this little recorder sitting right here, and she'll alert on your laptop and her phone sitting right here. So that's how she knows. But I mean, the difference between a cell phone and a gun, it's no different. The alert's the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's pretty funny.
It's amazing that they can pick up on such a minute, microscopic amount.
And dogs' noses are crazy. So we like to use this analogy, and it's really good to explain the whole like lingering odor too, like with the car stuff we were talking about. So you go home and you make an apple pie, and somebody else walks in the door and they go, ooh, it smells like apple pie in here. We can smell that, all that stuff, but you bring that dog in, the dog's going to smell the cinnamon, the sugar, the apples, the baking soda, every little piece of what went into the apple pie. Mm. And then you take that apple pie out and you ate it and it's gone. That lingering apple pie odor is
still
going to be
there. You still smell the cinnamon, the sugar,
exactly.
the dough.
And they're still going to have that residual smell. So we have a car that there's no more narcotics in the car, but there used to be. Well, that's why the dog's still smelling that apple pie.
Okay.
So they know, hey, it used to be here. But again, they pick up every little detail of the apple pie.
That's such a crazy idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you were overwhelmed with that amount of information all day long?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the things we don't want to smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many things we don't want to smell.
Right.
It's good to be people.
Yeah.
We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with Zach and Kylie. We are talking about the canine program, just in general, but basically Shasta County canines today. And you guys, you're still considered Shasta County, even though you work in Shasta Lake City, right? Because
yes.
You're a sheriff's department.
Yep.
Sorry for the Sheriff's Department. Quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. That's Bill's Farm is the dog.
Hey, brother, do you still believe in one another? Hey, sister.
So yep. On our brief break, Kylie busted out the treasure trove. Bill hasn't seen the treasure trove before.
It's just amazing they put this much thought into hiding things. I mean, any of these items could be laying on a table and you wouldn't give it a second look.
Okay, so we have to tell people since, you know.
They can't see.
We have props built for, props not built for radio. Okay, so there's a chess piece that hides a U.S. That is the USB. Sorry.
You pull the bottom off and
let Kylie
plug it
do
it. In.
Kylie actually knows what the heck she's talking about. Why am I doing it?
And then another thing we have, it's like a patch. It's a little American flag patch, and like the Velcro backing comes off, and it's actually split to where you can.
It's got a pocket in there.
A hairbrush. It works like a hairbrush too, and so the bottom opens up, and you can put either. I have a USB drive in there right now, but again, you throw that in
it
your
bathroom
door.
It just looks like a hairbrush.
There's a lighter that pops open. It's not a working lighter, but it pops open, just a little like handheld one. You hear the little pop. And a micro USB drive's in it. And then I got this other one that's a – I use this a lot. It's a key fob.
Yeah, it's a Ford.
Yeah, with the flip out – because that's what my car had before.
Yeah, so it flips out, and then it pops open in half, and then it pops open again, and it's got a little storage compartment in it.
Wow.
So okay, that took a little bit of figuring.
Yeah.
So does – I mean, are those – so it never drives a car. It's really just for that. Someone manufactured something that looks exactly like a key for a car.
But again, you throw this on a set of keys, and I'm not going to take a second look at the keys.
Who's
going to
take that apart?
Counter.
No one.
Nobody. But when I have Tony –
the dog can
through.
Smell it through all the plastic and through everything. It can still smell it.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's the Dr. Pepper can.
Yep.
And it's kind of – beat up a little bit, so
yeah,
it just
I need
looks
to
like a can.
I need to replace that one. It gets used a lot for props.
No, but I mean, if you wanted, you put it in the recycling bin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that would be kind of the smart money. Get the bashed up one and throw it in the recycling bin.
It's got a lid on it that popped off because it's just super glued, but it's like it's closed to where it looks like it's an unopened.
Looks like a real can. Empty can.
And then, it's the other thing, like a charger for a something.
This one?
Yeah. And the part that plugs into the wall.
Yep. So
the box or whatever that is, you know, plugs into the wall. Actually, the top pops off, and that's a pretty big compartment, actually.
Oh, yeah. And so this,
this
is just another one. It's a USB drive that looks like a key, but I can put any one of these other little ones in it.
Sure. So, you could put 100 little ones in there,
exactly.
Actually. That's a big space.
Think about how many micro SD cards can fit in this.
Yeah.
And that's just sitting there, and it's amongst a box of
Even hide it. Just leave it out in the open, and you'll look right past it.
Just like maybe for all the people that are not, like, tech people at all or maybe are still using the Jitterbug phones.
Oh, I gotta
You'll
like it.
I made her think of something.
Brings me back to my old snake playing games.
The what?
The snake playing days.
Oh,
the old Nokia.
Nokia phone.
Old Nokia brick phones.
That's right.
Yeah. I bet if we had a charger for this, it would still work.
Really?
If we had a charger is probably the operative. And that's a...
It's a normal phone.
But it's a normal phone.
Yep.
Who would look at that? Because you'd think like, okay, that's been there and done that.
Kids these days have no idea what this is.
That's true.
Not saying a lot coming from me.
That's true. You're still kind of a kid. But you've had to delve in. So you've got a micro SD card would be in real life used for in a phone. You could use it in a computer. Mm-hmm. It's something it could be in a camera.
Camera, yeah.
I mean, it's got a lot of use and huge amounts of storage.
Oh yeah, and you think about how many,
like if somebody was hiding photos on it or whatever,
thousands of photos on one of those little tiny things.
I mean, they could do like what. Like a terabyte, 2 terabyte. I mean, as big as they make.
Yeah, probably.
And the amount of material that could be on their video.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of video, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And then the other thing you have is the little plug-in deal. It's the part that your charger would plug into. It's the square thing that goes in the wall, and then your cord plugs into that. That one's a storage device. And the other one, the one that I thought was really creepy, was a camera.
Yeah, this one.
So that looks like it just has a USB that plugs into it, and it would plug in the wall. And if you saw that in someone's house, you would think, well, that's just where they charge their phone.
Right.
But the front of it is a camera.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah, super creepy.
That is creepy.
I've got another one that's a little tiny camera.
I mean, that's right up there with, you know, the stuffed animals and the... You know,
I should get one of those.
All the scary.
Same thing. Like she'd alert to a stuffed animal that had like a built-in camera.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The nanny cams, right? Oh, it's so, you know, for such a good purpose. Yeah. It's so terrifying.
So it's definitely really cool to have. It's really rare to have one of these dogs. I was telling telling you the other day, there's only about 10 of these dogs in California, 100, 120 throughout the United States.
Really?
Yeah, there's not a lot of them.
What do they call them?
ESD, electronic storage device, canines.
Dogs?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you'll see like ESD canines. A lot of them aren't cross-trained for the firearms. That's just something that we added on to. So something else that's really different about Tony, I know Zach was talking about like searching cars and everything. So Tony doesn't give us like any legal authority or legal probable cause to search things.
Oh, kind of forgot about that part.
Yeah, when we bring Tony in, we already have the legal authority to search. I call her a flashlight. She saves us a heck of a lot of time and just uses her nose to find stuff. Same thing for like we're searching grassy areas looking for shell casings or concrete or cement.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to, no matter how many times.
Impossible to find it.
We go and we look at everything, and I did that. Do you remember that shooting up in the city of Shasta Lake where we searched the area for like 45 minutes, and by the time I got up there, it took Tony no more than like 2 minutes right in front of our
face. That's
got
to be a little bit.
It's a time saver.
Yeah, it's a huge
time saver.
Yeah, but
you're like, wow, really? I think we get beat by the dog again.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's a great resource to have, and again, a huge time saver.
Are there? But there probably are a bunch of dogs trained for firearms and gunpowder residue and that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely a little bit more.
That seems like that would be kind of common, a little bit. And the drug dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Are there a lot of those?
Drug is probably more common because, like Kylie said, that gives us the legal right to.
That's true. You actually found the drugs
With a firearm.
Good thinking.
With a firearm canine, that doesn't really give you the legal right because it's somewhat legal to carry a firearm as long as you're doing it the correct way. So if a dog alerts to a vehicle for a gun, then it's not justified because you can carry one. You're allowed to,
right?
You know, as long as it's stored correctly. So it doesn't really give you the probable cause to search a vehicle.
What about the airport dogs? What are they typically trained for?
I would assume
all sorts of things.
Yeah, I would assume mainly, you know, bomb type stuff.
Explosives.
They have
agriculture dogs too. So last time I flew international, came back, there was like a beagle running through the check security and it was an agriculture dog. So,
no kidding.
Yeah,
looking
so
for
something
illegal fruit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
And of course, with like a airport setting, that kind of stuff is a little bit more. It's different than just on the street. Probable cause. They can search whatever they want at the airports.
There's a program one of these weird network channels that has where they go through airports and search people's bags and pull them aside. And you always see dogs. They'll go over and alert on something. Then they take that bag in, open it up, and I watched one where they did. A guy had some kind of exotic fruit in this thing, and it's totally illegal in the United States, and the dog found it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
dogs are incredible, and they can be taught to do anything, just like when we go to school. So Tony was trained with one of our other canines, Duke. They went to school together, and it was pretty much we're training them the same way. They're just giving different odors, and so it's the same process, it's the same technique, whatever it is. It's just this dog gets to smell narcotics, and then this dog gets to smell for a cell phone.
Right. I would imagine you can't train them for too many things because that would be kind of confusing for them, right?
Right.
Yeah, so.
And then they're alerting on everything. They're all focus.
It's a car.
It's a car.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, it'd be great to teach Tony how to alert to narcotics, which she could totally do, but her alert can't differentiate between electronics and then narcotics.
Right.
So it's
right.
Like she could sit outside a car, and while she's smelling the narcotics, she can't tell you the difference or whatever, so we can't do too much. But like an arson dog, I think there's, 21, 22 different odors that are imprinted on?
I mean, they can...
Accelerants.
They can pinpoint where the fire actually started.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Because it's a lot hotter, or the accelerant is primarily there.
Oh, it's really concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But the arson dogs, again, they learn a lot of different odors, but it's all in the same, I guess, world. Mm-hmm. But we can't stretch the dogs too thin.
Right.
With what they're
doing.
At the end of the day, they're still dogs.
Yeah, they're still dogs.
What?
Yeah.
That's not right. So, what? How young are what are the dogs that are the youngest? Is it just depend on the dog?
Yeah. Like for the patrol side, we try to look for about 1 year old, one years old.
Oh, really?
Age, yeah. I think Kylie actually got hers pretty young.
Yeah.
but
they goof off a lot when they're one.
They still goof off.
They still goof off.
Kilo's three and he still acts like a puppy.
I don't know. He looked pretty. When you had him in the room, they had to take the other dogs out.
Yes. So Kilo is very. He's not very, but he's pretty dog aggressive. So I have a Doberman at home. They get along great, no issues. He'll sometimes show her like, "Hey, I want that toy. I'm boss," type thing. But
it's like, I'm a police dog, by the way. They pull rank and stuff.
I mean, with her maybe. But for the most part, everyone wants, the dogs want to be that best dog. They want to be, I'm the alpha. Oh. So if you have five alphas all together, it's probably not going
to
end well.
That's true. I didn't really think about that. Everybody's used to being literally top dog. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. It does create a weird dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
There are some, like Garen, the one that you did see as well. Yeah. He's very friendly. He's a German Shepherd.
Oh, yeah. He was pretty.
He gets along with a lot of people. He's the best preschool dog to see. You know, gets along with Tony.
Oh, we have to escape. The news is coming. We're going to talk about some canines after. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sometimes I feel like a monster.